From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
And welcome to Washington Watch. It's Tuesday. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. It's a big election day today in several states across the country. We'll take a look at the races with pollster and conservative strategist Connor McGuire here in just a moment. And in India, the nation's persecution no one's talking about. India's southern states has been hit with a series of persecution incidents. FRC's Travis Weber will join us to discuss a little later in the show. And Dinesh D'Souza has a new documentary now open in theaters entitled Death of a Nation. We'll talk with the best-selling author and filmmaker a little later in the program. And of course, we'll take your calls later in the show. All of this content can be found on TonyPerkins.com, and you can follow Tony on Twitter at TPerkins. And go over there and follow me at R Jones Reports. Well, it's a great day to be with you, and today is the last special election before Election Day in the nation. It's taking place in Ohio, and four states are holding primary elections: Kansas, Michigan, Missouri, and Washington. Four other states are holding their regional primaries, and we're going to talk about all of that right now with Connor McGuire. He's senior strategist for WPA Intelligence. Connor, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, great to be on again. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Well, it's a big day, and I know you're keeping an eye on the ball. You crunch the numbers, and let's start with the Ohio 12th special election. What are you seeing there?
So this is the last chance that we get a look at a special election before going into November. You're going to have a lot of people out there saying that, you know, a lot depends on, you know, where we stand going into the general election based off the results of this, you know, primary. Now, I'm not going to say there's any real bellwethers out there, but this is going to give a good look of about where the Democrat enthusiasm is and if Republican enthusiasm is picking up. And you take a look at two candidates. You take a look at O'Connor, who's, you know, very similar to kind of other Democrats that have run, you know, in Pennsylvania and then down in Georgia. And so this race is shaping up to kind of follow the narrative in the same situation we've seen play out a few times. It's always got to take about, look at that one big thing of the president. The president endorsed and flew to Ohio to a rally on Saturday. And one thing that we know, and if we're talking about enthusiasm gap and the changes, one thing we know is that rallies with the president are really the number one, you know, tool that we can use to increase turnout. We saw this in the presidential election when the president would, you know, go to different areas such as, you know, the panhandle in Florida. You could actually see the metrics tick up and the enthusiasm gain and numbers of Republicans turning out to vote at a much higher level. So I think it's very, very great to see the president there. But there is this overall look of where do we stand in terms of this enthusiasm gap coming out of this last special election.
Yeah, that's really a good point. And you know, the man works harder than any politician I've ever seen. I mean, he's just a workhorse, and he gets out there. And there are people even watching these rallies. You know, CNN doesn't hardly carry them anymore, but Fox does. And I think One America News and whatnot. But people are watching these rallies, even though he virtually says the same thing over and over again. You know, they say the mark of a good leader is someone that can cast the vision every 28 days. And that's what he does. He casts the vision over and over and over again. And it will be interesting to see where this all goes. And he's had a pretty good record, hasn't he, on those he's endorsed?
Yes, that's kind of the one thing that as pollsters, and we take a look at situations after elections, is the Trump effect and what the president has done impacting these races. And one of the things that we see is in Republican primaries is, you know, as close to the, you know, president as you can be, the better. We see even in races, you know, more general elections in like North Dakota, we see both Heidi Heitkamp trying to get closer to the president than Congressman Kevin Cramer can. The president has done a great job, and I think this seat the president won by, you know, double digits. And so this is something that people know, the Republican candidates know, that being close to the president is going to pay off dividends, because you're right, he does travel. And this has been a good look at both the president and vice president spending time on the campaign trail, being out there, being with the voters, and talking to them about reminding them why they voted for President Trump and Vice President Pence in 2016, and what this continues to mean for the country, to make sure Republicans still get up and turn out to vote on Election Day. But when you look at the special elections that have happened over the last year and a half, you do see that Democrats had this, you know, enthusiasm, you know, bump, that they, you know, they came out stronger in different places we didn't expect. And so you've got this gap. But when you see the president show up in a district, and you see a president even send out tweets just to support and have his endorsement, you really see those numbers move fast, both in making sure we have our voters that turn out, that always turn out, but then also just those voters that don't necessarily vote in these types of elections. I think we're going to see some pretty special things, and hopefully hold Ohio 12 with the work that the president has done and that the groups in the state have done.
Now, 23 House seats, I believe, are needed for a Democratic majority. And, you know, we're going to be watching that close, Connor. Now, let's go over to Kansas. I lived out there for some 20 years. It's an interesting political state. We've got a big governor's race there.
That's right. And there's another situation where the president has endorsed Chris Kobach. You know, was an early Trump supporter, and even, you know, advised on immigration policy, was part of the, you know, a lot of the president's work moving on. And when you take a look at something like immigration, it is continually to show up in polling as, you know, a voter's, you know, top issue. And it's not just the, you know, Democrats are upset about trying to actually secure the borders. It's both sides. It is Republicans and conservatives that know we need a safe and secure border that really, you know, pops to the top of every single poll that we look at. You know, and Trump won the state by 27 points. So his endorsement really, really means a lot. And looking at polling, you see it, you see that kind of bounce around between Kobach and Cloyer. But I think, once again, we're going to see the effect of Trump coming in, even at the last minute, with a tweet of endorsement supporting Chris.
You know, in another race out there, Congressman Ron Estes, this is just odd. This is reflective of what the Democrat Party does. I know Ron. I've known him for years. He's former treasurer. He won a special election. He's been probably one of the newest members of Congress, and now up for reelection again. The Democrats have put up their candidate with a guy with the very same name. And I just scratch my head on this.
That's right. It seems like they found this guy running as a Republican, but he's, you know, he's pro-choice. He doesn't support the NRA. He wants to legalize weed, and has, you know, raised no money as well. And it's just this kind of this seems like tricky politics, where you're just hoping people aren't going to pay attention when they get into that voting booth and they see the name, they know, they recognize, and they check the box. I don't think that's really going to really have an effect play out, but it's a very strange situation where you see this in movies about politics. You don't actually see this in real life, that someone is, you know, trying to mess with elections in this manner. So it is a bit bizarre.
Yeah, indeed. Well, let's go next door to the Show Me State, my home state. There we've got Senator Claire McCaskill, and then we've got the Attorney General Josh Hawley. Give us a recap on that.
So this is going to be, going to the general, this is going to be one of the most expensive races in the country. This is one of the 10 states that President Trump carried with a Democrat senator. I think Josh Hawley is going to absolutely fine tonight. We got to look ahead to the general election. This is going to be really interesting. I think Claire McCaskill has gotten lucky a few times in her past elections. So I think we have a great place to pick up this seat. Polling has it pretty much within the margin of error. You know, McCaskill up one, tie. Most recently I saw as Josh plus two. But pretty much everything is pretty much right in that statistical error area. So this is going to be very expensive, big race with a lot of attention nationally. And you're talking about where the president's going to be in October. Look at these 10 states that we have that Trump carried, and you have Democrats as senators. We'll spend a lot of time and a lot of work. And of course, President Trump won the state by 20 points and endorsed Josh Hawley in the primaries. I don't think there'll be much of a problem there.
Now, McCaskill, she's one of 10 Democrat U.S. senators trying to defend their seats in states where President Trump won in 2016. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. Connor, let's go up to Washington. Tough state if you're a Republican.
It is. But, you know, there is some possibility there across the state. There are some good Republicans. And so right now you've got, for the Senate race, you've got a 28 candidates file. And in Washington, it is in the primary. It's top two face off, and it is vote by mail. So most of these ballots have been cast, and they're just bringing them into count them for this race. But you got Washington's 8th congressional district, which is, I think, going to be very, very competitive. The front runner, Republican Dino Rossi, former state senator. Then you've got three Democrat front runners as well. So this is going to be interesting to watch. There is always opportunities in states, and when you talk about how amazing things can happen, like President Trump pulling out Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. There's room for winning everywhere, and especially if Democrats get kind of tied up and focus on trying to win in places they really shouldn't win, have no chance, like trying to win in Texas, which I don't think there's really much of a shot there statewide. But if they're spending money over there, there's a lot of races across the country that Republicans can pick up or hold.
Mm-hmm. Now, Connor, we got about a minute left. Real quick, what about Michigan?
Michigan is an interesting place. We've got, obviously Trump flipped it to win, and then we've got Governor Race. He endorsed the Attorney General, and that shows right now the polling showing out a double-digit lead in that race. But then you also have the Democrat, the Socialist, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders out there on the Democrat governor's race, supporting Abdul al-Sayed. And so this is really one of these places you can really see the two parties of what has, current state of the two parties, GOP supporting our president, and the Democrats pushing a socialist program of free college, free everything, and we'll figure out how to pay for it, I don't know when. So I think it's going to be interesting looking there, and you'll see that echo throughout the rest of the primaries.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. It really is. And we'll just hope and pray that folks can see through the thin veneer of the socialist agenda there. Connor, we're out of time. Thank you so much. Great overview of what we're looking for here today. Thank you for being on Washington Watch. That's Connor McGuire, senior strategist for WPA Intelligence. Those folks, they know their stuff. They watch the numbers. They get the nuances of the various races, and sure, we'll have them back on again. Well, coming up next, extremism and anti-Christian attacks have spread into India's southern region. I've been to this nation. We're going to talk with FRC's Travis Weber when we return. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Make sure you go to TonyPerkins.com. You can follow all the news there. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for his kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, civil liberties attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, senior research fellow in the technology policy program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Well, you've tuned into Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Going to be with you all week here. Great to be with you again today. Well, Christian persecution-related incidents in India are reaching new heights every year. India has noted a rise in incidents of religiously motivated violence in India's two Telugu language-speaking southern states, Telangana and Andhra Pradesh, including the brutal murder of an elderly Christian woman. Now, I've been to India, was there a few years ago, got to see the nation, traveled from north to south, and many don't take seriously the dangers of Hinduism, the world's oldest religion. It's a colorful nation. It's a blend of extreme poverty and significant wealth. And there's the caste system there. You're born into a particular caste system and you're there. It's a higher caste and a lower caste. The lowest caste are the Dalits. They're the lowest of the low, or some call them the untouchables. They have jobs like cleaning latrines, and you'll see them fixing shoes on a street corner, which, you know, fixing shoes in that culture is a horrific job, and they can't break free. And there are millions and millions of gods that they worship. Well, with us now is Travis Weber, Vice President of Policy at Family Research Council. Travis, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me back on.
Well, let's talk about India here. Just give us kind of that 30,000-foot view of what we're seeing there.
Yeah, so the 30,000-foot view really takes us back to the current government and its vision of using Hinduism to impose nationalism and impose a uniform system of how the country's religious freedom, religious pluralism should look, using the Hindu religion to and capturing it, taking that, co-opting it, and really spreading this cancerous vision of religious freedom using Hindu nationalism. Now, you know, what does that mean in practice? It means that you have people, Hindu mobs, Hindus adopting this vision, going out, not tolerating any other religion, including Christianity, using anti-conversion laws to prevent people, intimidate people, use violence in some cases, to prevent people from adopting Christianity, accepting the message of Christ, accepting the gospel, really hindering freedom of religion in India. So in essence, you don't have the freedom to choose what faith you will worship and to live that out. You don't have that currently under this increasingly spreading, this increasingly metastasizing vision of Hindu nationalism. And that's really the problem, is the current Prime Minister Modi's imposition of this tolerance of those who are fomenting it and fomenting violence, even though he may not openly call for it himself, tolerance for this very intolerant view of what religious freedom means in India.
And Travis, when I was there, and I mentioned this group called the Dalits, I saw there and witnessed Dalits were converting, or they continue to convert to Christianity and Muslim, actually, the Islamic religion, to try to escape from their fate in life. And they were already an outcast, but if they did that, they're really an outcast, and there's nowhere for them to go if somehow they can escape from the country or get some other place. So it's a dichotomy that I really saw there. And Travis, I was reading that India ranks 11th, just behind Iran and Yemen this year on the annual Open Doors USA list.
Yeah, I mean, things are really taking a turn for the worse. And I don't think many people understand this. It's sort of escaped a lot of public notice. Even the Middle East situation, we've often commented, has escaped public notice, but even that has been covered by more press than the situation in India. And we have to bring it back to this understanding that it is using these anti-conversion laws to prevent people being free to choose their faith, and really being promoted through this vision of Hindu nationalism. It had been, I think, more concentrated in certain parts of the country. People are familiar with violence in the Odisha area, which is to the northeast of the areas you just mentioned. But now that violence appears to be spreading. We've had situations that have popped up in very recent, even in recent days, in Hyderabad and the area to the between Hyderabad and the Odisha area, Gadchiroli, and those areas have seen Christians intimidated, violence against Christians, really all driven by this intolerance of people's ability to choose their faith, choose Christianity in this instance. And this is not directed solely at Christians. In India, you have a lot of these Hindu nationalists targeting Muslims and those who choose to worship differently, and a lot of horrific things, going on. You have a case right now involving an ongoing appeal of 7 Christians in the Odisha area that the Odisha High Court continues to put off hearing. These Christians have been convicted, likely wrongfully convicted, for the killing of a Hindu leader several years ago, and they're illiterate, most of them. If they're languishing in jail as the Odisha High Court puts this off, the High Court really needs to hear this case. You need fair and impartial rule of law in India as it concerns religious freedom. That means the freedom of everyone to choose their faith and live it out. And we're really going to continue to spotlight this, highlight it, call attention to it until the Indian authorities reclaim the rule of law that they assert they have. It really is not holding up when you look at situations like this situation in Odisha with the High Court refusing to hear this appeal, not hearing it yet. So regardless of the image they may want to portray to the West about having a democracy, that really is not going to hold up unless you have freedom of religion, unless people can have the freedom to choose their faith in India.
Right. Well, Travis, thanks so much. We're up against the wall here. Travis Weber, appreciate you so much, and I'm sure you're going to keep an eye on this and keep us up to date.
I will. Thanks, Russ.
All right, Travis Weber, FRC's Vice President for Policy. The leaders there, they say they want to rid the country of Christians and Muslims by 2021. That's amazing. Well, coming up next, here in America, we have our own form of extremism of a different kind. We'll talk with Dinesh D'Souza about his new documentary, Death of a Nation. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. Make sure you go to TonyPerkins.com. You can get all the great content there. Follow Tony on Twitter at T Perkins, and you can follow me at R Jones Reports.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
You've tuned into Washington Watch. Russ Jones here, sitting in for Tony Perkins. He'll be with you all week. Well, this month, author and filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza released his latest documentary, Mixing Politics and History, entitled Death of a Nation. And near the beginning of the film, Dinesh showcases examples of the negative reactions Democrats and liberals have to the election of Donald Trump in 2016. Let's take a listen.
Lincoln was elected to unite a country and stop slavery. Democrats smeared him, went to war against him, assassinated him. Now their target is Trump.
America was never great! Slavery, genocide, and war!
Donald Trump wins the presidency.
So help me God.
They say he's killing America.
There will be a vote to impeach.
They say he's a racist.
This was a white lash.
And a fascist. Who are the real racists?
Northern Democrats had conspired.
Death of a Nation. It's out in theaters now. Well, with us now is Dinesh D'Souza, best-selling author and filmmaker. Dinesh, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hello. It's always great to be on the show.
Thank you so much. Well, first, let's just start kind of with the obvious. What gave motivation to produce this new documentary?
Ever since Trump's election, there's been a kind of craziness in American politics. These incendiary accusations that Trump is a racist and a fascist. And these allegations are not confined to Trump. They're applied more broadly to conservatives, to Christians, to patriots. And so in this movie, I wanted to do a kind of dive into fascism and racism, both historically and in the present, and try to ask whether the fascist and racist tail should be pinned on the Republican elephant or more accurately on the Democratic donkey.
And you use comparisons between President Lincoln and President Trump. Tell us how you describe to our listeners how you do that.
Well, the point of linking Trump and Lincoln is not to suggest that they are the same type of person. Lincoln was brooding, melancholy, philosophical, a very different man temperamentally than Trump. But their situations are actually oddly similar, eerily similar, I would say. In 1860, an outsider, a Republican, Lincoln, wins a very close election, which he won actually only because it was a three-man race, two Democrats in the race. And the moment that he was elected, if I may say so, all hell broke loose. The Northern Democrats were actually calling for his assassination. Southern Democrats proved that they were willing to break up the country rather than live with the result of a president that they did not support. And so look at how similar that is to what's going on now. An outsider, a Republican Trump, gets in. The Democrats, the same party, refuses to accept the result of the election. And they think that they are able to, they want to get rid of Trump, quote, by any means necessary, in their own words.
Now, in your other films, 2016, Obama's America, and then Imagine a World Without Hillary film, right? They were respectively number two and number six highest political documentaries of all time. What was it like doing this compared to those two?
Well, I've got a good record now because I have three of the top 10 political documentaries of all time. And this film, I think, is actually technically and also in some ways in terms of content, I think it's the best one because the topic couldn't be more more timely. And we also have crushing revelations in the film. I mean, to give you an idea, it has been a sort of trope on the left that today, that whatever you say about the history of racism, the Democratic Party may have indeed been the party of slavery and segregation and Jim Crow and the Ku Klux Klan and racial terrorism, even of opposition to the civil rights movement of the 1960s. But even so, the left says, look at Charlottesville, look at all these white nationalists. Today, the racists are all on the right. They're all Trumpsters, if you will. Well, this is the taken-for-granted thesis that I essentially blow out of the water. And the way I do it is by showing that the leading white nationalists are all on the left. The organizer of the Charlottesville rally was an Obama activist, an Occupy Wall Street activist. In the movie, I interview literally the poster boy of white supremacy, Richard Spencer. It's literally one of the times in the movie where the audience begins to gasp out loud, audibly. And it's because it's really clear within this 3 or 4 minute interview that not only is this guy on the left, he's on the far left. So what's happened is that we have been victimized by a kind of media scam, which is to portray the whole Charlottesville business as being a right-wing phenomenon, whereas in reality, it's a left-wing phenomenon.
Now, it's in theaters now, and where can folks, I guess they can check their listings in their theaters, but when it's no longer there, where will it be available?
Well, the movie is, it's in over 1,000 theaters right now, and you just have to go to the website, which is deathofanationmovie.com, deathofanationmovie.com, and you can plug in your zip code, and boom, it'll tell you where it's playing near you. So it'll be in the theaters for a few weeks, and of course it'll come out in DVD, but not until right before the election.
All right. Dinesh, thank you so much. I know you're busy. Thank you so much for joining us on Washington Watch and bringing us up to date for our listeners. I know they're interested.
Always a pleasure.
All right. Dinesh D'Souza, thank you so much. Death of a Nation in theaters now. Well, coming up next, we're going to go to the phone lines. I want to hear from you. Yesterday was kind of interesting. Had some interesting calls. 866-372-7234. Give us a call. 866-372-7234. Let's do a heart check. How's your heart right now in the political atmosphere? How's your spirit? What's going on in your neck of the woods? I'd like to hear from you. 866-372-7234. You're listening to and Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen. Sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for his kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Yeah, you know what time it is. We're rounding third, heading towards home. Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council, in the trenches with you in the battles, the culture wars, giving you the tools to confront the culture. Let's go to Lance in Lincoln, Nebraska. Hi, Lance.
Hi, Russ. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
I am blessed and highly favored. Thank you.
Great. Hey, I really appreciate everything you and Tony and the crew do. I was listening to a little bit of your interview with Dinesh, and I saw that movie yesterday, and it was like, I thought it was fantastic. I've seen the other documentaries Dinesh has done, and this may be the best one, but I thought it was really good and would encourage anybody to see it.
It's timely, isn't it?
Very timely, and just a good encouragement, too, to make sure we're all, you know, as believers, doing our part to, you know, make a good difference for Christ in our culture while we have an opportunity.
Yeah. Lance, thank you. How's Lincoln, Nebraska? Doing all right up there?
Yeah, I think we're doing okay. You know, we have our little challenges and battles, but as the rest of the country, but I think, you know, we're doing all right.
Well, we appreciate your support, and thanks for listening to Washington Watch, Lance. Let's go to Virginia. How you doing?
Good. Hey, I'm a recent listener. I've listened to Tony for a few times, and I've been listening to you on the way back from work. So thanks for having me on the call. I guess I'm the second Indian there on your show today.
How do you say your name?
Anand.
Anand.
Anand, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, what's on your mind?
So I just wanted to quickly comment on something you had said earlier in the show, and you were talking about the persecution in India. That's very, very real, and your guest was spot on. And just recently, with the new change in government, they are a more fundamentalist religious government, and that's kind of been their arm. And so they've had a very similar to the KKK type movement that's been part of their kind of their backbone, and they've been using that kind of a religious thing as their backbone. And and it's kind of now that they're in the majority, they don't kind of speak about it, but that's about a third of their base, right? So that's been their thing. But one quick comment I wanted to make was you had mentioned that, you know, in your visits to India, that the Dalit folks were coming to Christ to kind of get out of that that caste system being locked in.
Right.
I want to quickly disagree with that, only because that's a common misconception that people sow, that the Hindus sow in the people that leave, that give them a bad taste, to say it's only the low caste that go to be with that go to these Christian missionaries, and only people that can't afford things, they go there for food, they go there for clothing.
Right.
They kind of make that a thing, like they almost cheapen the whole Christ experience by saying that it's typically the low caste people that do that. And I'm here to tell you that, you know, the Christ and his message is shed abroad, and it's available to everybody. It's that his light, that, you know, this marvelous light that what people are attracted to. And just a little history: the people that first came to Christ and through the gospel to Thomas, who was actually landed in South India, were mostly Brahmins, the higher caste people that were temple priests and whatnot. Those were the first group of people that were converted, and so all the traditional hymns and stuff are written in really wonderful Sanskrit and Tamil and Telugu and other languages. And so so our heritage goes back to all cultures, and, you know, into his marvelous light we have been all called. So I just want to praise God for the good work you guys do.
Anand, that in there. Thank you so much for adding that. You've made a really important point, and I appreciate you making that point. And you're absolutely right. Jesus is available to all, regardless of the caste. That is the narrative I've heard before, and you've added great value to that. I appreciate you doing that, and you do so as an immigrant from India, so you know you have been through that, and I appreciate you calling Washington Watch very much. Let's go to Mary in Kansas. Hi, Mary.
Hi. My opinion today is that President Trump is doing a really good job as long as he's got some real good people behind him. And I feel like he's helped us in the government. He's helped us with our faith. The only thing I would ask him maybe to think about doing is not tweet so much and calling people dumb. I think he would be better off telling people, I'll pray for you, and we'll work this out legally through my office. And I think he would make himself look like the intelligent man he is through government and through his faith, and just ignore the group and not play down to their games by saying, dumb, you're dumb and dumb. Just like Maxine Waters, what she's trying to do to this country and incite riots and maybe get somebody murdered or killed, go after people like that, and maybe Congress could get her out of office or something, since she's trying to turn the government around to hate. So, President Trump, if you hear this, I voted for you, and I would vote again. You're good. Just don't lure by saying dumb all the time. Just tell him, I'll pray for you.
Mary,
thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. And, you know, we're all a work in process, aren't we? I know I am. Constantly trying to be better in the Lord and learn from things and past mistakes and whatnot. And we're all a work in progress. So a good word for Mary. Let's go to Vershawn in Indiana. Hi, Vershawn. How are you?
Hey, how's it going? I called in, I believe it was either last week or so, about I was postman from Indiana here.
Yes.
And just talking about the political environment. And,
yes,
how
yes,
people were surprised.
I recall.
Yeah, and so did you just have Dinesh D'Souza on there?
We did, yes.
Yeah, and he really, I would call it a ministry. I don't know if that's what he would call it, but his ministry of, you know, knowing the true history of America and sorting that out really helped me, you know, as an African-American, knowing the true history of what, you know, the Bible and what the Republicans stood for, you know, and I feel like that's the political environment that people you know, Terre Haute here don't really know the true history of the, you know, the Republican Party and all of that. And I feel like that has caused a bunch of animosity and ignorance on the part of, you know, believers and unbelievers alike in the African American community. And it's very sad to see.
Well, that's an excellent point, and I'm totally with you on that, as we talked about the last time you called. And so you delivering the mail today?
Yeah, I actually got off early today, which is a relief.
Well, yeah, thank you.
Actually, get another comment today. It's like day on a daily basis, I get the same comment, like, oh, my goodness, it's a black postman in Terre Haute, Indiana.
Well, you just keep standing in the gap and you keep us up to date, Vershawn. I appreciate you very much. Thanks for listening to Washington Watch. That's Vershawn in Indiana. He called a couple of days ago talking about comments he gets about being a postal worker, a postman, and being black and being African-American, and people just shocked that a black person would be delivering the mail. It's just amazing to me. Amazing. Paul in Louisiana, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I like your last caller. I went to see Dinesh D'Souza's movie over the weekend. It's excellent. Everybody ought to go back to history class for 2 hours.
I don't think we're doing too good on the history lessons in our schools. What say you?
We are not. The sad part was there was only 8 people in the showing that I went to, but it was an eye-opening, very well told, very entertaining as the subject went, but it was enlightening and is well worth somebody's time to go see. We brought up in Sunday school class to try to get some more folks to go, but we just got to keep working at it, and I'm just so thrilled and pleased that Trump worked so hard. You have every... But anybody who puts on a concert has to play the same songs over and over, and when you have to listen to it on the same 2 radio stations every night, you get to kind of learn the spiel, but it goes
right
to the heart, and it's still all true. And we're just so glad that the Lord put those in control that need to be, and it's just so exciting to hear that, hey, I will sit down with Iran and talk to you, and they said no, and he said, well, sanctions are on.
Right.
Good job.
All
good
right.
Job.
Well, Paul,
and appreciate your show.
You too. God bless you, Paul, in Louisiana. Appreciate that. Let's go to Joseph in Jackson, Tennessee. Hey, Joseph.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, man, if it get any better, I wouldn't be able to stand it.
You know what? If I were any better, I'd be twins. That's an old joke. What's on your mind?
Well, what it is they're trying to, and I understand this from a female standpoint. Females try to change men, and I'm not saying all females. They try to change men. Well, that same spirit is trying to change Donald Trump into who he isn't. See, God chose him just the way he was to use him for his purpose, and they say, well, he needs to do this, he needs to say this, he needs to. Tone this down. No, just like when he started tweeting, it was important because the media is corrupt. So he's got that insight. People need to just leave the man and just pray for him to do God's will, which is important because he was chosen by God according to Isaiah 44:28 and Isaiah 45:1-13.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Cyrus.
You know, Joseph, every good leader surrounds themselves with really good people. And a good leader is not afraid to surround themselves with somebody that's maybe even better than they are. And President Trump, that's what I like. He does that. And we're blessed here at FRC. Tony Perkins is one of those voices in his council. And President Trump has got many, many godly men and women that are giving him godly counsel. You make an excellent point.
Have a blessed day.
You too, Joseph. Thank you so much. Let's go to LaLasha in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello. How are you?
Any Elvis sightings in Memphis? You know, there's this nasty rumor that he died. I am on a campaign just to kind of douse that rumor. Because, you know, I was a big Elvis fan. Took my mama to see Elvis about 3 months before he died in Kansas City. Well, what's on your mind?
Unfortunately. Okay, well, I actually just started listening to your show maybe a week ago. I work for the Sheriff's Department out here in Memphis. And I have to say I love your listeners because you have such a diverse listening audience. I mean, you have Donald Trump supporters, and then you have people that aren't for him. Like, I didn't vote for him. But I have to say I respect his position. You know, he's in the office, and you have to respect, you know, his authority now. So, you know, the best thing that we can do is pray for him, you know, and like your listeners, your caller that just called in, we can't pray for him, you know, just to change, but as for God using him, you know, and about us learning what we can from him, and maybe he's invoking change within us, you know.
Yeah,
we see things that we don't like, but it kind of forces us to go in ourselves and look and see what we're doing or what we're supporting that maybe we should not. You know, even with Maxine Waters, they were saying that maybe she should be out of the office because she's in, you know, kind of inciting riots. I really don't believe that's the avenue, because when Donald Trump first came out of the gate, that's exactly what we were saying that he was doing, you know. But he's in there. I think that he's learning as he goes, you know. And I'm going to support him, like I said, because he's in the office. He has that position. And we need to respect it, whether we like it or not.
Well, another good word, Latasha. Thank you so much up in Memphis. Appreciate you listening and sharing your thoughts. Time for one more caller. Is it Savvy in St. Louis? Savvy.
Savvy.
Do you have a savvy word for us today?
Well, yes. First of all, the previous listener, I totally agree with her. We do have to respect the president. We do have to pray for him. And I like the diverse opinions that I hear in your show. But one thing I want to remind folks of is that we don't need to vote party over people or vote for one party just because one claims to be, you know, anti- abortion, et cetera. We have to look at what people do. And I think that has been a wake-up call for me as an African-American, as a conservative. I consider myself to be a conservative Christian. But I'm also surprised at the number of conservative Christians that support what the president does. We have to be careful about that, because we have caused a lot of division because people want to vote for a party and not look at what the candidate is doing. Donald Trump, you know, initially as an African-American, I said, let's give him a chance. But I am totally appalled at what I've seen happen to the office of the presidency. I think, in a way, we've become a lot of hypocrites because we are supporting things that are not biblical. Whether his actions, I don't understand why we have to have a president that tweets negative things every day, who contributes to, you know, just too much racial and political divisiveness.
I've got to cut you off. I'm so sorry. We're out of time. When that music starts playing, we're up against a hard break. Thank you for calling Washington Watch. And friends, I leave you with this. What then shall we say in response to these things? From Romans 8:31, God is for us. Who can be against us? The waters don't rise and the Lord tarries. I'll see you again tomorrow. God bless.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.